Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. You know, we have a lot of options when it comes to pet food. Go down the pet food aisle these days. Some of them are very long aisles, and there are a lot of different things that you can get into when it comes to your pet's food. And we'll be talking a bit about that today with our guest, Dr. Carrie Donahue. Great to have her back. It's been a while, so it's fun to see her smiling face once again across the table from me. She can talk about increasing the nutritional value of your foods by adding fresh ingredients. She owns and is founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care in Madison. She's got a thriving business on Monroe Street in Madison. And lots of people come to see her with their dogs and cats and other things as well. So what questions do you have about pet food? Do you add fresh food to your pet's diet? What pet care questions do you have? Join in at 1-800-642-1234 or send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. And Dr. Carrie Donahue, welcome back.
Thanks so much for having me.
What does a good diet look like for cats, dogs, let's take those two.
Right. Okay. To start. Yeah. You know, and there are some, like you mentioned, some wonderful pet foods out there. And I think it's important for pet owners to kind of have a base of a conventional food, whether it's a kibble or a canned food. All of the foods are formulated to meet basic nutritional needs for dogs and cats.
Yeah.
So that's a good place to start. But my recommendation oftentimes is to go above and beyond kind of the basic nutrients that you get in a standard pet food and improve the nutrient value that your dog or cat might be getting by adding in fresh foods. And this can be a huge benefit, a huge health benefit to both dogs and cats.
Well, you know, I've got cats who are really picky.
Yeah.
They will not eat anything that is not exactly what I feed them every day.
Oh.
And when I try new things, those things just get left
really, yeah,
by the wayside with a haughty look on the cat's part.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except when it comes to plants. Now, they love to go and eat the leaves, and then they promptly throw that up.
Okay. Yeah. You know, and that is one of those things, kind of paying attention to what your cat or dog might naturally be drawn to. So if your cats are kind of seeking out plants to eat, maybe something that you could try offering them is some of that, like the cat grass that you can get that's made for cats. You do that, or even just catnip, which is a really nice source of dried green. It's got, you know, medicinal qualities too, so it's very nice for calming and keeping cats happy. So that might be something. Have you tried offering them any sort of like human foods, so-called human foods, like different types of fresh meats or tuna?
No, I haven't tried. Well, the one cat happens to be on a wet diet because of a urinary tract infection issue, but I haven't tried tuna fish.
Okay.
Maybe I should try that.
That might be something to try. Tuna. A lot of cats really love tuna. And this would be just going to the grocery store and buying a can of tuna. I would say make sure that it doesn't have any sodium added. But then offering that in small amounts just in addition to the regular food. You know, and another thing that dogs and cats both like are sardines. So that would be another thing to try, you know, just offering that in and just adding that fresh food can really, really kind of help.
And my friend's cats will eat anything, and she can feed them vegetables and fruits.
That's a rare thing for a cat to like vegetables, but some of them really do, you know, and then you can kind of play around with that too and try different things.
Yeah, I was kind of envious when I watch her, you know, they'll chew on a carrot even.
You know? That's surprising.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Brenda in Sturgeon Bay has a question for you. Let's go there. Hi, Brenda.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
Well, I have an almost 12-year-old giant Pomeranian. He's about 25 pounds. Last March, he was diagnosed with diabetes, and I've been trying really hard to get his numbers down to a more normal level and been struggling. I had switched his food over to, it was a raw boost grain-free recipe. Mm-hmm. And wondering if there's a different food out there that might be better for him. Should I start maybe with a homemade food? Like this morning when I tested his sugar, he just read high. So it was well over 700.
Oh, boy, that is very, very high. And have you started doing any insulin therapy?
Yes. Yep. He's insulin shots twice a day. I test him first, then I give him a shot. Just recently went up to 19 units of insulin twice a day. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what about the food side of this? Diet's got to be really important.
Diet is
for
very
Brenda's
important. Right.
Dog.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, there are some specific prescription diets that are out there that are made for animals who have diabetes. Typically, these diets tend to be higher in fiber. And the fiber is nice just because it kind of slows down the digestive process. So it that can really make a difference for a diabetic animal. So I would say maybe considering doing one of those prescription foods just until you start to get everything under control and then starting to potentially branch out. Looking at homemade foods, I mean, that's something that I do in my practice. And I would say if you are thinking about doing a homemade diet, and it, you know, that could be very beneficial as well. But it's really important to talk to a veterinarian who has a background in nutrition so you know exactly what types of proteins, how much protein, how much fiber to feed. But that would be a very valid option. But I would say talk to a veterinarian before you do something like that.
Yeah, there you go. Good luck with that, Brenda. Appreciate your call. Well, what about fresh foods? Do fresh foods really make a difference if you add something like that into the diet?
They really do. And, you know, when I talk about fresh food, I am talking about, when I say adding it in, less than 10% of the diet. And if you're adding in less than 10% of fresh food, you're not going to make any major changes in kind of like what I talked about before, that baseline of the vitamins and minerals that your dog or cat should be getting from just a basic regular food. And it really does make a difference. There was a study that was done at Purdue University, and they found that adding in just a variety of fresh vegetables 2 to 3 times a week can decrease and prevent the replication of cancer cells. They were looking at dogs that had transitional cell carcinoma of the bladder, and they really found that by just adding in fresh vegetables a couple times a week, it decreased the growth of the cancer in the dogs. So, yeah, I mean, just a more reason to say, if you're cooking food for yourself, if you're making meats, or if you're making vegetables, just taking some of those and throwing them in your pet's dish can have profound health benefits.
Tom and Earl is up next. Let's go there. Hi, Tom.
I had a question. I feed my female Border Collie pedigree puppy food and Purina One chewing things, and I just got her bred, and I want to know what kind of stuff I can add to her food or what kind of food I should feed her while she's pregnant and after she has the pups.
Okay. So, yeah, and I think probably the best type of food, and what I usually recommend, is a higher protein and lower carbohydrate food. So I think that's kind of the best way to feed an active dog.
And a pregnant dog?
Yeah, and with pregnant dogs, usually you want to increase the calorie content, and even thinking about doing some sort of like a puppy food or something like that just to give them more calories, more protein, more fat.
Oh, okay, so a puppy food.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When I look at the bags, I mean, you look at those bags of food out there, and there's myriad ingredients, and selecting the best ones is, I mean, be it puppy food or anything else.
Right.
What advice do you have for selecting the best ones?
Yeah, I know. And I think, you know, a lot more and more people are really looking at the ingredients on the pet foods, and that's a very good thing. I think it's important to kind of look at the protein and the type of protein and making sure that protein animal byproducts aren't in the top 5 ingredients, and kind of staying away from some of the higher carbohydrate content foods. In my opinion, animals seem to do better on that, especially cats. So kind of looking for the grains, looking at corn, wheat, soy content, barley, oatmeal, all of those things that they add in, and trying to keep those carbohydrates to the minimal end of how much is in the pet food.
So the top five ingredients usually make up what percentage, or do you, or does that vary? I imagine that
a large percentage. The first five ingredients,
maybe 80%.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
yeah.
So those are the five you want to pay real close attention to.
Right, exactly. And if you can find a food where it just says, you know, chicken or beef, and it doesn't say chicken meal or chicken byproducts, that's the thing that you really want to look for. You know, and another thing that I do want to mention, if you can find a food that says human grade ingredients, it's going to be so superior in quality. When you think about human grade versus animal grade ingredients, and most pet foods out there have animal grade ingredients, which means there it's everything that's left over after the human
gets done with it.
Right, exactly. So it's basically food that's not considered fit for human consumption. So this is another reason why I think it's important to kind of go above and beyond whatever is in the pet food and add in your own human grade ingredients, whether that is like lean meats, you can add in eggs a couple of times per week, and then getting back to the vegetables, even something like yogurt is a great source of protein and a good source of probiotics as well.
I tried yogurt on my cats.
How did that go?
Not good.
You know, I will say, though, a lot of animals that don't like cow's milk yogurt like goat's milk. You know, and some animals don't tolerate cow's milk dairy products, but they do very well, and they really seem to like the taste of goat's milk, whether it's plain goat's milk or goat's milk yogurt or goat's milk cheese, something like that. So that might be
something to try. I'll look for some goat milk yogurt.
Okay.
But back to the ingredients again. Now, you say home, what's the human?
Human grade.
Human grade.
Right.
I would think if I was making a pet food that had human grade, I would put a big plaster, a big...
And they do. So, yeah, you know,
big name
so
on the
it
bag.
Is because you're going to be paying, you
you're
know,
be
a bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they really advertise it. So you can easily find those foods that do say human grade ingredients on them.
And do some of the, I mean, the popular, quote, quote, popular companies, are they, some of them making human grade?
You know, I would say probably not the biggest pet food companies. This kind of gets into some of the smaller companies that are really making the investment in the human grade, and kind of that is their specialty.
That makes some sense. I should mention just in passing here that at around 11:45 today, Alexandra Horowitz will be on to talk about her new book. It's called Our Dogs, Ourselves. It's a very entertaining book. And one of the things that she talks about in there is the history of kibble, which I want to bring up with her
in
that part of the show. Well, we are talking today with Dr. Carrie Donahue. She has a wonderful business called Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care in Madison. She provides holistic and alternative care as well as standard care as well. And they offer, acupuncture. You can get botanical medicine, vaccines, other wellness care, including what we're talking about today, primarily nutritional recommendations. So questions for her, give a call at 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Tyler Ditter, our engineer today, Jill Nadeau, our producer, and you are listening to the Ideas Network. Taking a look at your pet's health today with Dr. Carrie Donahue of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care in Madison. Larry Mueller here. Thanks so much for joining in. We've been dealing primarily with nutrition, and we'll keep talking about that. We'll take some other questions as well at 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Michelle in Green Bay, thanks for waiting. What's on your mind?
Hello. I love it when your guest is on. I learn so much. I've been feeding my dogs extra vegetables and yogurt and things, and they are so healthy. It's
wonderful.
Perfect.
Good for you.
Yeah. Yeah, and they will eat any vegetable that falls on the floor while I'm cooking. And also the ones in their dish. So that works out well. But I was calling about something else. My little dog, Bella, is a rescue. She was abused for 2.5 years before she came to us. We believe she's actually the sister of our other dog, Bosco. But Bella has always had a barking issue at everything, and it seems to be getting worse. So I'm wondering if we tried some calming medications. They didn't really work. I'm wondering if you have any holistic or natural suggestions for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, I'm kind of in a similar situation with you. I have a little chihuahua who loves to bark, and it just seems like the older she gets,
the more she barks
at
everything.
Why
do little dogs bark more than big dogs?
Goodness.
I swear that little dogs bark a lot.
I know. And I don't know if it's, you know, kind of related to a fear issue where they get, at least with my dog, I think she gets scared. And so that's kind of like her way of just kind of presenting herself as bigger than she actually is. But I will say, I've tried a couple of natural things for her throughout the past year or so. And one thing that I've really found seems to work well for her is CBD oil.
Oh.
So CBD oil is one of those things that, you know, a lot of pet owners are starting to use more and more.
Yeah.
And so I thought I'd try it on her. And it really seems to calm her down, take the edge off, so she's not as likely to get worked up about certain things happening. So that does seem to help with the barking. So if you haven't tried CBD, that might be something to try.
Now, is it with CBD, or do you mix it in with the food? Do you rub it on their back, or what do you do?
Yeah, typically, if you just get the CBD oil, you can mix it right in with the food, or you can drop it directly in their mouth. Either way that you can get them to, you know, kind of take it is just fine. And although I will say again, with my dog, she doesn't love the oil itself, so I found it in treats. And you can get kind of like these pre-made treats that are infused with the CBD oil. She loves the taste of them, and I give her 2 once a day, and then that takes care of, you know, her dosing.
So there you go, Michelle. And can you find that, well, veterinarians, are they starting to carry that sort of thing now?
Veterinarians, not so much. I mean, I do carry CBD in my practice, but I think it's not really out there.
Right.
You know, beyond kind of some of the pet food stores, a lot of pet stores now carry CBD oil and treats.
So there you go, Michelle. Give that a try. And thanks very much for calling. I appreciate your call. Pam and Sister Bay up next. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Carrie and Larry. I'm calling because I have an older pup, Georgia. She's 14. She's a Doberman Terrier mix. And she's really healthy, but she's always been skinny and, you know, not a huge eater. And as she's getting older, it's harder to keep weight on her. And I've been adding like half and half cream to her food, and I give her like extra cheese and eggs, and I started to think maybe I could start feeding her puppy food again just to keep weight on her. So I'm just wondering, you know, it's not like she's losing a ton of weight, it's just she's older and she's a little skinny.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this is one of those cases where I actually do recommend increasing the carbohydrate content of the foods. So if I have a dog that's thin and I want them to put on weight, I often say, you know, think about adding in some whole grains. An oatmeal is a very nice way to add in a nice, gentle carbohydrate that you can add in along with the regular food. So oatmeal would be an idea. Just adding in, you know, say maybe a half of a cup every day.
Cooked
oatmeal. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So just prepare it like you were making breakfast and then give that to your dog. Another really nice whole grain is quinoa. You know, that's one of those that a lot of people are eating, but you can also make that for your dog and maybe just kind of trying some different whole grains. You could do barley and just see if your dog might have a preference, something that they like better than another thing. But see if that might help, along with everything else that you're doing, to get your dog to put on a little bit more weight.
And Pam's dog may be thin and obviously is, but I can remember talking with Dr. Sandy Sawchuk, and she said that a lot of people who say my dog is thin,
right,
it's really the
and they're actually
weight.
Okay, right, okay. Exactly. I know. Yes, our perspectives have changed a little bit on what is, you know, thin, too thin, and normal. So, yeah.
Yeah, so if the dog's ribs are showing a little bit, doesn't necessarily mean that it's...
Exactly, and that's usually what I go by. If I can easily see the dog's ribs, then I think they're a little bit on the thin side. I mean, you should definitely be able to feel the ribs, but not particularly see them.
Okay.
So, yeah.
There you go. Pam, give that a shot. Thank you so much. Barbara in Grand Marsh, it's your turn. Hi, Barbara.
Hello. Our family has a six-month-old corgi, not a very good eater. We've been giving him a good quality kibble, and we started giving him, a couple of tablespoons of canned vegetables, and he absolutely loves it.
Wow.
Good for you.
Rather than cooking a vegetable, you know, when I'm not home, my grandson certainly isn't going to do that. Is that acceptable?
It definitely is acceptable. I think the main thing that you want to make sure is there is no added sodium in the canned vegetables, but and no other additives either, as long as it's just the vegetables. I think that's just fine to do. Canned, you can also do frozen vegetables. I mean, that's something that a lot of animals like too as treats. You can do frozen blueberries, frozen peas. So really any way that you can get the vegetable content into your pet's food is just fine.
There you go, Barbara. Thank you very much for calling. By the way, there's an open line for you at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call with your questions or comments, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Stella in Sturgeon Bay, it's your turn. Hi, Stella.
Hi. We have two kitties. They're siblings, brother and sister littermates. And one of them, the female, Jasmine, started out with very surprisingly vegetarian taste for an obligate carnivore. her brother has learned some of those tastes from her. She is okay on all of this is from our organic garden, and they like it raw. They don't like it cooked. She likes snap beans a bit. They are both absolutely crazy now for peas out of the pod. Green peas. We bring them in and they start crying and crying and crying until we get them and they just scarf them down. They also love corn, sweet corn on the cob, off the cob, raw, and they just cry for that.
Wow. Yeah.
Jasmine really likes winter squash and asparagus. She goes crazy for in the spring. and we ordered through Amazon, we ordered organic barley, sprouting barley, and we grow them barley grass. We had experimented in the past with wheatgrass and barley grass, and they did not like the wheatgrass. They don't like the sweet. They like the bitter of the barley grass. And we grow it in a box that's about, I would guess, about 6 inches by 6 inches by about 2 or 3 inches deep.
Stella, what else do you feed the cats?
We feed them From, I believe it is From is the brand. Kibble, we have an assortment of about 5 different flavors of kibble. We found that one of them made Henry throw up. He eats 2 different flavors, one in the morning, one in the evening, and his sister eats mixes of 2 kibbles at a time of the other 3 kibbles.
Wow.
And we also give them what we call their treat in the morning, which is a little water with half of a probiotic capsule sprinkled on it and a nutritional supplement called Ambritose from a company called Manatech that we take and we've given to all of our animals, and a little bit of nutritional yeast.
So, listening to what Stella feeds.
I know, healthy
her
cats.
Cat. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I asked about the other, what else, because there are some protein needs that may not.
Right.
Have...
Definitely. Yeah. And she had mentioned, too, feeding the Fromm's food, which is a wonderful food, just to kind of keep as a base and then going off from there and adding in the vegetables, I think is a wonderful thing to do. And, you know, I also want to mention, too, it is really important, like what the caller had mentioned, rotating through different types of protein. If you can, I mean, certain pets are sensitive and can't so easily go from one type of food to another type of food. But I think as much as possible, rotating through different proteins, even different brands of food, just so your pet doesn't develop a deficiency. If they might not be getting every single thing that they need from one certain type of food, you're providing them with a variety to just kind of cover all nutritional needs.
And thanks very much for calling. Rick in Madison will give you a chance now. Hi, Rick.
Oh, hi. I was calling because the last time I bought dog food, they were telling me about some recent FDA investigations regarding grain-free dog foods and their relationship to causing or potentially causing some cardiovascular problems in dogs. And I was wondering if she had any comments about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so over the last couple of years, the FDA has been investigating claims that certain types of food can, in certain dogs, contribute to certain types of heart issues. And they have found a potential connection between what they are calling grain-free foods, and these are typically foods that have a high percentage of legumes, and that would be peas, pea protein, chickpeas, even getting into like white potatoes added into those foods in certain dogs can cause health issues. And a lot of it is related to the amino acid profile. And animals that develop heart issues might be deficient in the amino acid taurine. My answer to this is to add in foods to the diet on top of your base food that have taurine, that have the amino acids, and those are typically lean meats. Turkey is very high in taurine. Different types of fish, like the sardines that I mentioned earlier, really nice ways to add in extra protein on top of whatever food that you're feeding to make sure that they're getting all of the amino acids that they need so they don't develop cardiac issues. But this is, you know, the FDA is still investigating, so we don't really have clear answers on this issue as of yet.
Rick, thank you so much for calling. You can join in, too, at 800-642-1234. Quite a few emails. We probably should get to a few of those as well. Christy emailed to ask what you think about ice cream and other dairy for dogs.
Ice cream, well, you know, and there are specific ice creams that are made for dogs, and those are just fine as a treat. Just because they don't have a high sugar content, regular ice cream for people I probably wouldn't recommend unless you really need something that tastes really good to get a sort of medication into your pet. Ice cream can be used. But, you know, and even other dairy products before, in moderations, things like cheese, cottage cheese, the yogurt, those are all fine to do in small quantities.
Joan in Muskego emailed to ask what you think of the four major food companies, Hill's, Purina, Royal Canid, and one more she can't think of. their foods are tested and have an AFCO label. Are these recommended, and what does the AFCO label really mean?
Right, and the AFCO label means that they've been tested and they've been found to meet the basic nutritional requirements for dogs or for cats. So by feeding any of those foods, and yes, definitely, those are all very high-quality foods and they do go through a rigorous testing process. I do recommend those foods because you know your pet will be getting everything that they need, and those foods have not been linked specifically to kind of what we talked about earlier, the FDA warning against some of the grain-free varieties. So, but again, I always recommend going above and beyond whatever the basic nutrients are in the food and adding in fresh food.
You know, I'm wondering, are there some fresh foods that owners should not give their pets?
That's a good point. Always remembering that onions, grapes, raisins are toxic to dogs and cats. So making sure that if you are making food, you're not adding in onions, even onion powder, anything like that. Of course, xylitol is something to watch out for. And some of those things that are out there, even yogurts, making sure that there is no xylitol because that's toxic to dogs. Chocolate, of course. Avocado skins, avocado pits can be dangerous. The avocado flesh itself is fine to feed. So those are the big ones to stay away from.
We have Chris and Adams up with a question or comment. Chris, hi.
Good morning. I have a couple of anecdotes to tell you, but I also have some advice for people. But the first thing I wanted to say is how blessing it is that there are people that are doing naturopathic pet care, because, and I would recommend to anybody that isn't getting any satisfaction from a traditional vet to at least try it, because I've had some stunning results from people that have helped me with things. And I just have a couple of little stories to tell. Well, let me go back and tell you those stories. I had a dog that developed a heart arrhythmia. I took him up to the vet. This was a long time. I took him up to the clinic at the University Hospital, and they gave me a prescription for phenobarbital, told me to keep him quiet, and he'd be dead in 6 weeks. So I found a veterinary acupuncturist, and we gave him all kinds of good stuff, and he got acupuncture 3 times a week, and in 6 weeks he was playing Frisbee, and he lived to be a year and a half after that before it got really chronic and he died. I also had a dog, a Dalmatian, with horrible, horrible kidney disease. He almost died on me at a year old. He had the surgery rerouting his urethra, and they told me that on a regular basis he would have to be brought in to have his bladder reamed out from kidney stones, and instead of doing that, I made my own cranberry sauce out of orange juice and fresh cranberries, and I mixed it with peanut butter, and he just scarfed it down, and I gave that to him on a regular basis. And in 13 years, he lived to be 13, he only had to go to the vet once to have kidney stones taken out of his bladder. So you can have miraculous results with that kind of stuff. I had a dog that liked to eat watermelon rinds. I had another dog that liked to eat broccoli. I have a bag of spinach that I keep next to me because I put fresh spinach in almost everything I eat. And the cats just love it. They will go in there and just take a handful of spinach out of there and scarf it down. And I also wanted to say this. I give my pets on a weekly basis a container of Greek yogurt for the biome and about a dozen raw eggs. The Greek yogurt is so that they keep their bacteria, the good bacteria in their gut up, and the eggs are a vermifuge. They keep, you can't use it to worm them, but it keeps anything from getting into their system. The larva won't develop, and it takes care of that. So those are my stories, and I'm sticking to them.
Okay, Chris. Well, what do you think of all those? Chris had a lot of stories there. What do you think
she
of all those
did.
Stories?
Thanks so much for sharing those. And thank you for what you said, too, about natural medicine. And that's, you know, why I love doing what I do, because it just kind of, you know, allows me to offer pets and pet parents alternatives to conventional veterinary care, and which is wonderful in itself, but sometimes it's nice to have options. And sometimes certain things work better for certain animals. So, you know, things like acupuncture and herbs and natural healing methods are, you know, what I love to do and what I love to talk about. And I've seen the results too. So I think it's a wonderful thing.
Well, as I remember you telling me a story once about some things that, you know, issues that your own family had that you were able to resolve through acupuncture, if I'm not mistaken. And that's what got you thinking about it for the pets
that
you treat.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, when I was in vet school, I developed allergies to dogs, cats, horses, then cows, and it just got worse and worse. In my fourth year of vet school, it was miserable. And I tried everything. And finally, that's when I turned to acupuncture. And acupuncture and Chinese herbs, that was the ticket. That's what really helped to get me over my allergies to animals. And I, you know, I do fine every day. I have seasonal allergies, but that's, you know, another thing. So, yeah.
But you've had success then as an acupuncturist treating dogs or cats or...
Right, absolutely. Acupuncture, I use in and out for a wide variety of different conditions, and you can use it for so many different things, even just supporting the immune system, for anti-cancer benefits, for allergies, for arthritis, you know, a wide variety of things. And acupuncture is nice because it's not something that you're getting your pet to take orally. It just kind of works on a whole different level, sort of this energetic level, which is sometimes difficult to understand why and how it's working, but it really does.
I'm trying to think of how Tiger, one of my cats, would react to somebody putting
needles in. Yeah, cats are, you know, the most difficult. Some of them love it. But in general, you know, there are other techniques that I use beyond just doing the dry needles because cats don't seem to love that in general.
I'm pretty sure Tiger would not.
Yeah.
Coco might.
You never know. They always surprise us.
Well, I think you mentioned you should check with your vet before you add some of these other food or even the food that you're feeding.
Right. I always think it's a good idea just to have a dialogue with your regular vet and letting them know if you are thinking about adding in either some supplements or some fresh food, just to get their opinions and if they have anything to add. But it's always good to let your veterinarian know what you're doing and getting feedback on that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. So you're a busy vet these days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's been busy. And, you know, with the fall allergy season, that's such a busy time of year. So
you have things for that?
There are a lot of natural things that you can do. Like I mentioned, the acupuncture, but even just different supplements, some natural antihistamines that I use to help with that itching and just getting pets through the fall and as we move into the cold winter when things seem to slow down.
And I know some of the things you recommend are on your website.
Right. Yes. So I talk about on the website different techniques that I use, different therapies that I use. And it's a lot of nutritional therapy. That's always helpful for any animal that has allergies, just kind of like detoxifying the system and going with maybe a simplified diet and ways that you can, you know, help with certain health conditions by changing the food. But food, herbs, all of that stuff, you know, just kind of taking little bits from everywhere and trying different things.
And your website is?
It is www.fullcirclepet.com.
FullCirclePet.com. You'll come back and be with us again sometime?
I will. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Carrie. Dr. Carrie Donahue, our guest. And as she was saying, her business is Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care, located on Monroe Street in Madison. And as you can see, she knows a lot, and she provides many options for you as someone who has a pet. It's great to talk with her, and we'll have her back and we'll visit with her again. Coming up, we're going to continue talking about dogs and our relationship with dogs and all that bond you have with your dog and all its complexities. There's a really new, entertaining, interesting, and thought-provoking book out. It's called Our Dogs Ourselves, and we'll talk with Alexandra Horowitz, the author. Coming up next on the Ideas Network, I'm Larry Mueller.